Hi, I'm Rick Reynolds, and you're listening to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the management, sponsors, or advertisers of this station. Due to the sensitive nature of the topics discussed on this program, it is not suitable for children, so we strongly advise that children not be within listening range of this program. Also, please be advised that while we are counselors, what we're doing here tonight is not counseling, and if you have a need, we strongly advise that you seek professional help. The Affair Recovery Center is a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered the pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We truly believe there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal. And welcome tonight to A Fair Recovery Radio. I'm here with my co-host Leslie Hardy. We're giving John Haney and Wayne Baker, the night off, so they're actually getting a big break this evening. And tonight we have a special feature. We actually have two guests, special guests here, to share their story of what's happened in terms of their own recovery from a betrayal. And so, as we begin here, if you would like to give us a call, just a reminder, you can call us at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or we can also be reached at rick@hope-now.com. That's rick@hope-now.com. So, Leslie, would you like to introduce our guests?
Yeah, we're so happy tonight to have Kay and Lynn here with us in the studio. And as you all are listening, if you think of any questions, do feel free to call in. But they're here to share their stories tonight. They both have experienced infidelity in their marriages and have graciously gone on the path of recovery with God at the center of it, and are both still in their marriages and have experienced reconciliation and restoration. So I'm going to ask Lynn to start us off tonight.
Okay. Well, my name is Lynn, and I've been married for 16 years, coming on 16 years. It was about 6 years into our marriage when I just kind of realized something was not quite right. I suspected something strange was going on, and you know, my husband was played video games and things like that, but I just got this feeling that there was more than that going on in our home office. And I chose to respond quite elegantly with denial. And
I don't hear her.
I basically just pretended that I was okay with that, that it wasn't about me, it didn't bother me, and just kind of really walked in denial for a long time. And technical difficulties here, just a minute. It was after the birth of our second child a few years down the road, when I walked in on my husband in our home office, and he was pleasuring himself and looking at porn, and it was just one of the most painful moments of my life. I know that night I just began a slow death. And that death lasted for several years, just kind of numbness and existence. And I remember telling myself, like I just clearly remember telling myself, that my life and my marriage was not about me. It wasn't about my joy. It was really just about keeping a family together for my children. I wanted my children to have a family. I wanted them to have a father. And so I really just, you know, continued with my denial.
But how did it affect you, Lynn, to realize what your husband was doing? How did it affect you as a woman?
Oh, you know, it was devastating. I really took all of that in and felt like I am not enough for him. I don't measure up. I'm not sexy enough. I'm not beautiful enough. I'm, you know, I just really, it felt like it was about me. It was rejection. So.
And for those of you not in the studio, Lynn is beautiful and there's nothing physically wrong with her.
Oh, you're sweet.
Just want to add that.
But yeah, it was very, very painful and just felt a lot of loneliness during those years.
What was your husband's reaction when you got him?
When I walked in on him, you know, honestly, I know he was mortified. He was embarrassed, and his addiction to pornography really caused him so much pain.
Did he admit it was an addiction when you caught him?
Oh, I don't think we used that word until later in therapy. No, I mean, he always really felt like it was something he could control, something he could stop if he wanted to. And in his mind, it was about him, and it really wasn't affecting anyone else. So,
but it sounds like it was.
It was. But, you know, I lived in that numbness, that numb state for a while. But the strange thing started happening, and I just really got angry. And I was having these angry outbursts, and I am a really sweet girl. But I started swearing and things I had never heard, never imagined I would hear coming out of my mouth. You know, mind you, I always did it privately away from my children. I would go close the door in the bathroom. And
you can't say it on air. I'm sorry. don't say the words. Well,
yeah,
please.
We won't ask you what you said.
No, you know, I've been really praying that Jesus would help me move on. I'm so not angry anymore.
So were you aware of what the anger was about?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think I was pretty clueless, still mostly in denial about what was going on in my home and in my life. And, but, you know, I just remember thinking, God, why am I so angry? This is just a little thing. David would leave his socks lying around or something little, and I'd be like, all furious about it. And, you know, I realized it was not in proportion to what was going on. And, I'm thankful for that anger. It scared me so much to be angry like that. I have little children. And it wasn't the way I wanted to live my life. And I think my anger and owning my anger was really part of walking toward recovery.
So what did it take for you guys to actually enter recovery?
Well, there was just a moment where we had another couple that we were finding some hope in. We were finding some hope in their story. Mm-hmm. And there was a second failure, a relapse or something for them. And I just remember thinking, I don't want to be the girl who thinks everything is okay and then 5 years down the road facing another rejection of another kind.
Absolutely.
And it was a wake-up call for my husband as well. And he all along had wanted freedom and didn't know how to go about finding it. So, and I remember I just knew I was so messed up, so needed help, that even though we needed help in our marriage, I was really messed up and I needed help. And I told him, I'm like, listen, I'm going to go see a counselor and you can come with me or I'll go alone.
Good for you. How did he react?
Well, he came with me.
Good for him.
You know, it was hard. I think it was hard for him to really take ownership of what this was doing to our marriage.
And how long ago was that you guys began recovery?
I think it's a little over 2 years now.
Wow.
Yeah. So we went together, and we went and saw Rick, and cried. Both of us cried. You know, I think it was the beginning of brokenness for my husband, and just and also just hoping that we could find some help and the freedom that he wanted. And so we did a session, 12-week session. I've been through 48 weeks of therapy. I just think that's
amazing.
I know.
Congratulations.
I should be, like, really well-balanced person now. So we did that class with Rick, and then I was invited to your class, the Harboring Hope class. And You know, there's just something about that group dynamic when you hear another woman say how you're feeling, or your husband hears another woman explain what she's going through, and it like clicks, and they get it.
Absolutely.
And they realize, I'm doing this to my wife. And God really used that class to bring David to a place where he had some tools, where he could slay this giant of pornography that had just held him for so many years. And he's walking free now. I'm so proud of him. Just really see him as a man of honor and courage who fought the fight and who slayed the dragon. And I'm really proud of him. And I'm glad I'm not angry anymore.
So how long did it take you, do you believe, to get through kind of the grieving stage of that reaction stage with him, and for the anger to begin to subside?
You know, I can tell you by Christmases, because I was really typically very angry at Christmas. Just hated jewelry commercials for some reason. Hated romantic movies. You know, I just thought, this is not real. I thought I would have that, and I don't, and they just made me mad. And I was still, you know, a little mad the second Christmas after we started counseling. But it's just this past Christmas, I remember sitting with our family and watching TV and seeing a jewelry commercial and going, oh, that's so sweet. And I emailed a friend. I'm like, I'm not angry anymore. So, you know, really that grieving did last for a while. And probably, you know, I'm sure my years of denial didn't help. And that process could have been shorter. But
how long do you think the years of denial lasted for you?
Oh, dear. I would say probably a good 6 to 8 years.
6 to 8 years.
She was one of our champions.
Would we call that ostrich and head in the sand?
Yes, I'm an ostrich. Not anymore. Not an ostrich anymore.
But what would you say is the main difference in your marriage today as opposed to before you guys went through this whole recovery process?
I think it's real. I think there was so much pretending on both of our parts. And gosh, it just feels good to be known and to know him and to realize that, you know, we're not keeping secrets from each other. He had a secret life, but I had a pretty big secret with all my anger and my my frustration too. And the fact that I knew and my heart was really not in our marriage for a while. I had kind of disengaged.
How long do you think you checked out?
I would say I checked out for a good year and a half, maybe 2 years.
Thank you, Lynn.
Well, I think we're pushing up against a break here.
Thank you so much.
You're listening to A Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. If you have questions for these fine ladies and you haven't even heard from Kay yet, you can call us at 365-9930, or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com. Please take advantage of this. Thank you. Hi, welcome back to A Fair Recovery Radio. Radio to the Power of God. Again, you can call us tonight at area code 512-365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or we can be emailed at rick@hope-now.com. And we want to continue right now with the discussion, or just for both Lynn and Kay telling their stories. And Leslie, what's going to happen next here?
Well, we're going to have Kay share her story. For those of you who are just joining us, Lynn shared her story for the first section, and she was married to somebody who had a pornography addiction. Kay's story is a little bit different, a different kind of affair.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me tonight. Dave, my husband David and I have been married for 35 years, but back in 1998, David came to me one summer evening and began to tell me how unhappy he was in our marriage. At that point, we'd been married 27 years, and that was a real shock to me. I really thought we had a great marriage, but I knew we were in trouble, and fortunately, we got right away in to see Rick for counseling. And over the next 5 months, we were really addressing the symptoms of the problems in our marriage. David, by that time, had become emotionally entangled with a coworker at his office. And he thought that It was not an affair. You know, there was no sex involved. They had just really connected emotionally. And I just knew that just didn't make me feel comfortable. And I go from hurt to anger really fast. So over the next 5 months, as we were seeing Rick, we were really talking about my anger. And I was just going over and over all the things that I was angry at David. Well, that was the worst thing that I could have done, because emotionally he was already halfway out of the marriage. And finally, after 5 months of counseling, one November day in 98, through a series of miscommunications, David just left. And I couldn't blame him anymore for the problems in our marriage. And I really descended into a black hole at that point, because I thought everything in my life, my life is over. By that time, I didn't have a personal relationship with God. And so there was just blackness. Fortunately, Rick really helped me in the 15 months that we were separated, helped me to just kind of stay on course and keep my focus. And soon after David left, I had a kind of a road to Damascus experience where I really saw myself for the first time. You know, I'd been blaming David because it was easier that way. It was his fault that we were in trouble. But God began to show me how much I had hurt him all those years of our marriage. I have an explosive nature and extremely critical and nagging. And that just hurt David. And he implodes by nature. He hates conflict. So that was building up within him all those years. So God and I began to look at me, and that was turnaround point in our marriage, where I took the focus off of him and looked at me. And I'd go in every week and talk to Rick, and I just wanted him to let me be a martyr, but he never would let me. He'd always turn the focus back on me, and I'd tell him every week all of the woes, all the things that were going on that were so so devastating to
me.
You're
not a victim, Kay. Rick, you don't get to be a victim, Kay. I'm sorry.
Those words echo in my mind. But sometimes he would just lean back in his chair after a horrible incident that would happen, and he'd say, "Kay, God's in control, and I'll let you know when he's not." And I would just relax, because that would remind me, yes, okay, God's in control. Because for the first time in my life, I really wanted to follow God, because I knew I had made a huge mess. So I tried to start addressing my own stuff, and I started being utterly delightful whenever David came around. And I know he suspected something was going on, because that's not my nature, but that would bring him back. And Rick really worked with me on that ambivalence factor, where since David was at the door, my natural inclination was to run after him and try to bring him back and make him all these promises or lecture him on why he shouldn't leave. But Rick reminded me that the more I would chase after him, the farther he would run. So my challenge was to stay stabilized in the center.
Well, and you mentioned, Kay, that it started off as an emotional affair, and then he left. Did it stay an emotional affair during the 15-month separation?
No. Rick had warned David ahead of time that usually will turn into a full-blown sexual affair, and it did on David's part for the first few months after we were separated.
And how did you become aware of that?
Well, I really kind of chose not to think about it. I really didn't find out fully all about it till we reconciled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. See, that's not my nature either, because I'm kind of charge ahead. But I knew in my particular case that God was asking me to let God take care of the problem, and that at some point, when, you know, if our marriage were to reconcile, that God would take care of it. And so I kept saying, "Okay, you're not being a doormat. This is power under control." Because I know that some women need to step up and address issues and be more direct with their husbands, but that's not me. I'm too direct.
Would you mind repeating that line? That's such a great line. About not being a doormat.
Yes, that was very important to me, because I'm a very strong woman and very self-reliant, which worked against me a lot in our marriage. So for me to turn the other cheek and not nag David and be as ugly as I wanted to be was huge. And I kept having to remind myself, I'm not a doormat. It's power under control.
Thank you. So after 15 months, what happened?
Yeah. We were 3 weeks from actually having the property settlement. Our lawyers were in place. Everything was ready for the divorce. And it just, a miracle occurred. David moved back home. But in the weeks leading up to our reconciliation, I finally reached the point in my spiritual walk where I knew that whether or not we reconciled that I was going to be okay because I was pursuing God instead of my own self at that point. And there was a certain release that occurred then. And when David moved back in, it was instant. And the first 2 years of our reconciliation, we've been reconciled for 7 years now, the first 2 years were very difficult. I was walking around on eggshells thinking, you know, is this argument going to send David out the door?
Right.
It was a tough time, but we were determined when we reconciled that we were going to put our marriage back together in a healthy way and address our issues.
Well, and I think after break, it'd be good to hear more about Kay's reconciliation.
But I also would like to maybe, we've got a caller, and right. See if she could ask a question here. So, Denise, welcome to A Fair Recovery Radio.
Hi.
And if you have a question, this is a great time to ask one.
Yes, actually, I have two questions. My husband and I have been married for 9 years, and I recently found out that he has been having affairs with some ladies at work during that entire time. I've decided that I need to forgive him and that our marriage is worth saving and that this is where God would have me to be. But I'm struggling with up and down emotions and a total and complete distrust of him right now. He is taking classes and he is fellowshipping with strong Christian men and he is making changes and great strides. But I am still struggling deeply.
So what are your questions tonight, Denise?
How long do I have to look forward to these up and down emotions and these extreme mood changes? And when can I look forward to a time where I will be able to at least begin to trust him again?
And how long have you known?
I've known for over a year now.
Okay. Lynn? Kay, would either of you guys like to answer Denise's question?
I think one thing that I learned from Rick was that God was not asking me to trust my David, my husband, but God was asking me to trust him. And there was a season where, I really wondered, you know, what my husband was doing. You know, I had a lot of doubt and wanted to try to control everything, and I just had to choose to trust God. And while that trust was being rebuilt in our marriage, and I would say that's a good 2 years from really actively getting help.
What would you add, Kay?
Wow. Forgiveness is huge. Forgiveness is huge, and 100% forgiveness. Wow, that's what I'm still working towards, and I know that my husband David is too. But one of the things that God works with me on, when I have the flashbacks and I get nervous and I get angry about what's occurred, God's a lot of times will turn it back on me, and I start to think about the areas where I have hurt David, and I know that you're hurting terribly, Denise. But if you can kind of look at it on both sides and kind of look at perhaps what you have done to hurt the marriage, that might help you a little bit, not to ever excuse what your husband has done as far as the affairs. That might help you.
Well, and I guess one of the things that I was wondering, Denise, is do you think that your husband is beginning to understand the pain that he has caused you?
I think that he is, just based on some of the things he has revealed to me recently, and some of the things that he's revealed in class. I think he's beginning to understand the pain that he brought to our marriage and to our family. It's difficult because he still works in the workplace with these women, and I work there as well and see them. And so it's a daily battle of seeing them, and then I get angry, or having a disturbing conversation with one of them and getting depressed. And it's just this roller coaster that has been extremely difficult. And then he sees that, and his mood is according to that.
Right. I think it's hard oftentimes for the unfaithful spouse not to take that personally when you start going through those moods. But hopefully God's going to give him the grace to continue to just allow you to go through what you've got to go through, Denise. I mean, it's really, really difficult. And I think it's hard for the unfaithful spouse to really understand. I think it's a matter of time, and I think Christian men around him who've possibly gone through this and who are able to explain to him what it's like for you, I think that will ultimately be very helpful for him.
Well, and I think as he is able to do things at work to show you that he's safer, just encourage you to not keep jumping time zones, but to try to stay in the moment, stay in the present. Remember the work he's doing today and who he's trying to be today.
Thank you for calling tonight, Denise. We really appreciate it, and we're bumping up against our break at 30 after. So if you would like to give us a call, we can be reached at 365-9930, 365-9930, or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com.
Else already on my wave. In Hawaii, they say, hey, 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 meaning when someone else is already on the wave and you just start getting up, if you cut in on them, it may be the last time you surf in that particular spot. It's kind of like that in life, too. You may be on the best wave of your life right now, and someone is trying to drop in on you, cut you off. You may be struggling to stand up, wishing you could rewind the tape and start over. Wherever you are in the lineup, God wants to set you up for that perfect wave on the board He shaped especially for you in His ocean to His shore. Find out how to ride the wave of life with the one who created it. Call 1-888-NEED-HIM. That's 1-888-NEED-HIM.
Listen to what others are having to say about the emergency marital seminar offered by the Affair Recovery Center.
This EMS weekend was very meaningful for me, and I feel it moved us along in such a positive way. I truly see success and forgiveness in the future.
Thank you so much. I came here for my wife, but I left with my life.
It was incredible to see God intervene in our marriage in such a visible way. Miraculous doesn't even begin to describe it.
You made this so easy for us to follow and understand, so comfortable.
As you can tell from past participants, the Emergency Marital Seminar has had a profound impact on the couples who have attended. If your marriage is at a point of crisis, we would like to invite you to come join us March 30th, 31st, and April 1st to be a part of this life-changing event. We can be reached at area code 512-346-9299, or you can go to our website at affairrecovery.com.
This is Jack Graham of PowerPoint Ministries. Please join me each weekday at 1 p.m. for PowerPoint, right here on The Word 99.3 and 98.5, teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to Affair Recovery Radio, radio to the power of God. You're listening to The Word 99.3 and 98.5. Tonight we have Kay and Lynn here with us, along with my co-host Leslie, and we are answering questions about what it's like being the hurt spouse going through this process. And Kay was telling her story just a while ago, and we kind of cut her off because of a caller, and so we wanted to talk a little bit, Kay, about what it's like for you, or what it was like for you. In fact, it's kind of an interesting story how y'all ended up reconciling after 15 months of separation. Do you mind just kind of letting us know just how that suddenly occurred, and then also what happened thereafter?
It's a great story, Rick. You had told me several months after we separated that everything could change in a heartbeat, and I just filed that in the back of my mind. But we were 3 weeks away from the divorce, and our daughter was really worried about her father, and so she had flown down to check on him, and it just so happened that David came over to see our daughter. And we had not talked, David and I had not talked for about 6 weeks. Our lawyers had really heated up the discussion, and the divorce was getting pretty tedious. And I didn't know how David would react to seeing me, but he just walked in, and we started arguing, and he just moved back home. He said, when I move back home, things are going to be different. And when he did move back home, things were different. We really started working on our marriage.
Because that just happened on an afternoon, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There was no discussion about his
move. No.
He knocked on the door.
Yeah.
When I moved back home, and he moved back home.
There you go.
That was it.
It was amazing. And I mean, he doesn't even still understand what it is, but we both know it was the Holy Spirit that's what did it. Mm-hmm. But, and you know, it was not a happily ever after story. The next 2 years were extremely hard.
Yes, and I told you not to let him move back home.
And I was so glad to see that man. I think you were real surprised when I told you we'd reconciled. But David continued working with his coworker for about 2 more years after that, and that was extremely hard. One of the things that he did soon after we reconciled was start instituting the weather report. He would come home at the end of every day and just let me know, I saw her today, or I didn't see her, or we made verbal contact, or whatever. And so that just was, everything was above board. And every part of me wanted to say, David, you've got to move on. But I knew that, at least in our case, that God was working his plan, and that when it was time, that David would leave his office. And it did occur. It was a long time, 2 years, but it did occur. And part of this was a process for me to start growing into being a more gracious woman at that point. I had to look at it that way. I'm a very explosive person. When I'm upset, I explode. And over those 2 years of that we really worked on our marriage, I worked on kind of controlling my tongue, and David worked on talking, because he's an imploder. He hates conflict. So that's been our struggle in our reconciliation.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I know it's quite a switch then when David would begin to tell you what he wasn't happy about, and how did you end up handling that?
Oh, not well. I still have trouble hearing the criticism, and that's a poor reflection on me. And my challenge is how to hear the criticism and then reflect on it and change accordingly. But I had to realize that it's really big for David to express criticism to me, because I'm explosive by nature.
So what would you say is the main difference between your marriage now and the marriage that you had before he left?
Oh, the biggest change is that God is at the very center mm-hmm. of our marriage for both of us, and that gives me a lot of stability. But also my not exploding is big, and I haven't perfected that, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. And David speaking up and being more vocal is huge for him. I really admire him when he does that.
So what helped you during the 2 years that he was working with his coworker as far as the emotional roller coaster of that went?
Yeah, I was seeing Rick every week. I've seen Rick for about 9 years now, 5 years on a weekly basis. But really, God used Rick in a very powerful way in my life to just really talk to me about staying the course with God and pursuing the marriage, and that was mm-hmm. very important.
So what were some of the things that were the most helpful to you, Lynn, as you went through this journey of recovery and restoration and reconciliation?
I think one thing David and I have learned to do is to just not freak out when we have conflict. You know, I grew up in a home where there just was never conflict. I never saw my parents fighting. And so, you know, if David and I had a fight, I would think, oh my gosh, my life is over. You know, what's wrong? And it was a big, big deal. But I think now we just realize, let's give each other some space. Let's pray about it. Let's, you know, agree to say, okay, I know we have an issue here and we're feeling really intense right now. So let's talk about it tomorrow afternoon after school. We'll get the kids and take them to a friend's house, and we'll have some time together.
So it sounds like you've been able to be more real in the marriage.
Yes.
And we have a caller, and if we can just add, yes, you're on Affair Recovery Radio. How can we help you?
Hello. Well, first of all, I want to thank the women for their stories, and I think what's happened is that they've been growing up.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. I have called you all before. I've been separated from my husband for 4.5 years, and a month after we were separated, he went to a high school reunion and met up with a woman he had gone to school with. She was going through her second divorce, and she lives in a different city, but as far as I know, they're still having a relationship. I don't know if it's crossed over. But I'm just kind of, I heard someone say about, sometimes I just feel like I'm being held hostage, because he doesn't seem to want a divorce, but he doesn't want to seem to work on the marriage. And so I'm still hanging on, but I felt like I'm becoming less interested.
So I hear that you feel like you're being held hostage. Did you have a specific question for our ladies tonight related to that?
Goodness. Well, I guess it for Lynn. See, who was the second one? Was that Kay?
Kay.
Yeah,
yes.
That it seemed like there was just a lot of endurance. And of course, in the beginning, I did try to get him to, you know, to come back. I'm not sure if I have a question.
I'm so sorry this has been going on for so long.
I know, 4.5 years. But I'm going to be counseling with you, Leslie, in April.
Well, I look forward to that.
So maybe I'm just calling in to tell part of my story.
Well, and I think Kay maybe wants to share something with you.
Okay.
I think that's a great question that you're asking as far as not knowing what to do. I remember sometimes I'd go into Rick's office and say, Rick, I can't take the pain anymore. I want to expedite the divorce and go ahead and tell my lawyer to let's get this over with. And sometimes Rick would just say, Kay, what is God telling you to do? And that really helped put my focus back on, okay, my emotions are saying to evacuate, but God is telling me in my particular case to stay the course and pursue reconciliation. And so you might want to ask yourself, what is God asking you to do?
Okay.
I think another thing that can be helpful is, again, finding the type of help that if you can do anything together. I know that we have an EMS seminar, one of our emergency marital seminars coming up in the end of this month, the 30th, the 31st, and April 1st. And events like that where a husband and wife can sit down with other couples, I think both Kay and Lynn have talked about the benefit of being with others and having other people on this journey with them, that's really helpful because even as Denise, I think, said earlier, that having other men around her husband kind of encouraging him and holding him somewhat to course and to task, that's very, very beneficial. And if that's something that could also be useful, you know, please give us a call at 346-9299, or again, you can go to the website at affairrecovery.com. And those types of things will then, I think, add a different type of service for you, and we'd love to have that.
And I look forward to meeting you, and you'll certainly be in my prayers.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And we're hitting up against the break, so.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
If anybody else would like to talk to Kay or Lynn, please give us a call at 365-9930. That's 365-9930. Or you can email us at rick@hope-now.com.
Daily Light for Daily Living, Ann Graham Lotz.
God, where have you been? Why did you let this happen? I just don't understand. If that's your prayer today, listen to me. Jesus has already drawn near to you. God said in Isaiah 43:2, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Have your tears blinded you to His presence? His gentle voice deafened by your own accusations? God doesn't always protect us from suffering or answer our prayers the way we ask Him to, but He does promise He will be present with us in the midst of our suffering and pain. He promised, when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. He says, I am the Lord your God, your Savior. You are precious and honored in my sight. I love you. Trust Him. His promise is sure. This is Ann Graham Lotz.
Hope. Hope for the brokenhearted. Hope for those who have made a mistake. Hope for those impacted by a betrayal. Hope for couples who feel no hope. The Affair Recovery Center is designed to offer hope, direction, and help for couples and individuals whose lives have been ripped by infidelity. There is hope at the Affair Recovery Center. We can all personally testify to what God can do by what we have personally experienced. Let us help. We are a community of counseling professionals and couples who have experienced the abundant blessing of reconciliation and renewal. We are dedicated to the restoration of marriages crippled by infidelity. Our mission is to offer hope, support, and recovery for couples and individuals who have suffered pain as a result of infidelity, betrayal, or sexual addiction. We can be reached at affairrecovery.com or You can call toll-free at 888-527-2367. That's 888-527-2367.
If someone asks what station you listen to today, tell them the word 99.3 and 98.5, teaching and talk for Austin and Central Texas.
Welcome back to A Fair Recovery, Fair Recovery Radio, Radio to the Power of God. And we're still here with our guest, Kay and Lynn. They're still breathing. That's a good sign here. And so as we come into this last segment of the program tonight, we wanted to be able to ask them some questions. And if you're not asking them questions, Leslie and I certainly will. So
yeah, I think one of the most common questions I have clients ask when they come in is, who should I tell? And how much should I tell? What would you guys say?
That is a great question. Because as a woman, my immediate inclination is to just unleash on everybody, just tell everybody. But I realized early on that I was pursuing reconciliation. I wanted to make it as easy for David as possible to come back. And so if I started telling my story to everybody, it would be difficult. So I carefully chose a close friend whom I knew I could trust. And I also was careful in talking to my parents, too, because there again, I wanted reconciliation. And I knew that if I told them too much, that they might hold that against David and they would be more biased towards me. So I really monitored what I said.
So how much did you tell your parents?
They pretty much knew, they knew the whole story. But I wouldn't call and unload on them when I was feeling really emotional.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that was real important for me. And with my sister also, I felt like I needed to filter that a little bit.
Well, and I really appreciate you bringing that up, because a lot of times when a person goes through this, they want reconciliation and restoration, and parents are going to have to forgive, but it's going to be really, really challenging if week after week they're emotionally involved. So I really appreciate you emphasizing that, Kay.
One of the best advice my dad gave me soon after we separated was, he called one morning and he said, Kay, you want to handle this with class. And that really got my attention, because when I would get very angry at David, I would want to act out on that anger and be revengeful. And fortunately, I kept remembering Dad's words, because I wanted to look back on this period and not have any regrets of how I acted. So handling with class is real important.
That's a good piece of advice. Mm-hmm. So Lynn, you say about who to tell and how much?
I remember one thing that you told me was, just to ask myself, would it be helpful? Would it be helpful for that person to know? Are they going to help me on the journey? And so I used that as a guideline. I did have one amazing pastor's wife that I was called when I was at the end of my rope a few times when I was at the end of my rope. And I don't know what I would have done without her. You know, she was a real rock, and she was there to pray for me and support me and go, I know God is going to see you through this. I know it's going to be good. It's going to be better than you ever thought it would be. And I needed that voice of encouragement.
And I'm glad you reached out. Sometimes it's really hard to know who to tell, and I don't know what Rick says, but I encourage people to be careful and to be prayerful. I once had a client whose husband had been gone for 5 months. And she had not told a soul. And I really don't encourage that, because you need support during this time.
Right. I personally tell people that you need to probably tell two or three people who can be very supportive, but that, if especially if you're still working together toward reconciliation, that these people you tell have the good housekeeping seal of approval, where both of you have approved of who is being talked to.
Right.
That way, typically, when I was going through recovery, I only approved of people that I knew that would still support and love me regardless of the trash that Stephanie told them about me. Of course, none of it being true, but nevertheless. but it was important to me that I knew she had to have someone to talk to. And I think it's just, though, you don't want that to be something that's broadcast across the world, because you can never untell someone.
Yeah, sure. And you want somebody who's going to be supportive of both of you and be able to love both of you. Mm-hmm. You both mentioned anger earlier. How did you handle your anger well, and how did you handle it not so well, and what would you recommend? Because anger is a very, very normal emotion when somebody's going through this situation.
Well, the swearing, you know, I don't know. That's probably not the best approach. But, you know, I am not like Kay, and and having an explosive nature. I am very quiet and, you know, a little bit more laid back and sweet. So I think in a way, just actually having some passion was a good thing. And just, you know, not in front of the children. And we were really careful to try to protect them a little bit from what was going on in our home. And but I think that anger, after my years of denial, I had to get it out.
Right.
I remember punching a pillow once, you know, throwing a flip-flop.
I'm guessing, Kay, you probably expressed yours a little bit more readily.
Not during the 15 months we were separated. I was delightful around David then. But I knew that I needed to process that anger because I was determined not to be a bitter old woman. So I knew I had to do that. One of the things that really helps me is to sit down and journal and just sit on the at the table and just write down all of my anger towards David and say, God, this is not fair. I can't take this. I'll on and on and on until I finally reach the point of release and then say, but God, you know, I don't want to do it any other way but your way. And that really helps me work through my anger.
That's good.
I think journaling is a really great way to handle anger. And Rick and I would both say that anger really is a secondary emotion. And if you can sit down with some paper and get the energy out, then you can share the thoughts and the feelings behind the anger because your spouses need to hear the fact that you're struggling and you're hurt.
And I love the fact that the two of you are very different because I know Leslie and I would both say that it really depends on the individual in terms of how this needs to be handled because for someone passive, they need to be able to be loud. And for someone who's loud, they need to learn graciousness.
Exactly.
Right. I think we probably had some of the, I mean, I actually had real fights with yelling and screaming. We'd never had that in our marriage.
Which was a positive thing for their marriage.
For us, you know, it was. God used that.
So what would you tell a woman in a similar situation as we kind of are wrapping up tonight's show?
I really tried to keep the big picture. The big picture was that I wanted to live out my life with David, that I wanted the marriage to reconcile. And so when I would get bogged down in the day-to-day hurt, I tried to keep that picture in mind. And I also knew that this was the course that God had me on. So I wanted to be right where he wanted me to be.
So how were you able to keep that focus daily, Kay?
Oh, that's good. That's good. I really delved into the Bible at that point. The Old Testament really spoke to me, the biographies of Moses and David. And I'd see, okay, now when they stayed the course, there was the blessing that God provided for them. And when they veered off course, then trouble occurred. And that really helped me to stay on course. Going to church was very important to me, where my mind was off of my own situation and onto God.
Mm. Some helpful thoughts. Thank you. How about you, Lynn?
I think I would like to speak to the women out who are in denial, like I was, who maybe know there's pornography going on in your home. There's something that's not quite right. There's a reason why you feel those feelings. And I would honor them and honor yourself. And don't be afraid to face what is going on in your home, because there is hope and there is coming out the other side of our story. There really is reconciliation. There is marriage that's real and intimate and true, and there's hope for you.
I've got a question for both of you, because this is always my ultimate goal here. Would you say your marriage is better now than it was ever before the betrayal, or are y'all just kind of bumping along, kind of in the same lousy relationship you were? You've got about 10 seconds apiece.
No pressure.
Oh, Rick, there's no comparison. It is. We are just getting better and better every year. Not perfect, excuse me, but better, yes.
Absolutely. We are growing in intimacy. We know each other better than we ever have. We're not afraid of what life is going to throw our way because we're in it together.
Well, thank you both for being here this evening. I know it was really helpful to our listeners. And next week,
we'll be having a mentor couple, so give ready for your calls. We'd love to have you join us.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us tonight and being a part of the newest addition to our services.
A Fair Recovery Radio, radio through the power of God. We'd like to invite you to go to our website, affairrecovery.com, and register for our free newsletter, as well as taking advantage of our free podcast. You will find that these resources are invaluable if you're trying to recover from some form of betrayal. We are here to help. We can also be contacted at 888-5-ARC-EMS. That's 888-5-ARC-EMS. And remember, there's nothing the nearness of God cannot heal.
Good night. God bless.
Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?